Hello, and welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Here you can find all our weekly messages. We trust that God will speak to you today. Enjoy the message.
Aren't you glad it's Christmas? Aren't you glad to be in church? It's just a beautiful day. So grateful for all the vision team members that made this possible. We have the most amount of vision team members ever scheduled and confirmed ever in the history of our church. And this weekend will far exceed any regular attended Sunday. And just thank you. Thank you for all your hard work. Many will be saved this weekend because of your sacrifice. Luke chapter 2. The birth of Jesus. It is his birthday, so we're going to read his story. We'll read 20 verses together. I know that that sounds like a lot, but this is a church, and this is the Bible, and let's not spend more time on memes than we do in the scriptures. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Why do you need a census? Because of taxation. If you don't know how many citizens you have, then you don't know how to tax them accordingly. And they've been doing this since the beginning of time. We still take censuses and we still pay mucho taxes. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. I've done this sermon now three times, messed that name up every single time. I prophesy that in the Spanish service coming up at noon, I'll mess it up again. And everyone went to their own town to register. So if you're from Zebulun, you go to Zebulun. From Lewisburg, you go to Lewisburg. From Garner, you go to Garner. From Holly Springs, you go to Holly Springs, wherever you're from. So Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. This is important because it's fulfilling prophecy that he would come from the line of David, because he had belonged to the house and the line of David. That's why sometimes when Jesus does a miracle, there is a blind man, he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me," because he comes from the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So engaged and expecting, and Joseph is not the biological father. Complicated. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's complicated. Joseph's like, yeah, right. The Holy Spirit, huh? Just kidding. He doesn't have any speaking parts in the Bible. True husband he was. Not a documented word from Joseph, but very, very quick obedience. Anytime the angel spoke to Joseph to move, he would move so that Jesus wasn't killed by Herod. Anytime Joseph accepted Mary, despite like the only person to ever get pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Joseph had the character to stay. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Turn to your neighbor, say, he's in the room. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. This is why scholars believe that maybe Jesus wasn't born in the wintertime, because shepherds would not have been sleeping outside during the wintertime in those days. So we don't know when exactly Jesus was born. The Bible doesn't give us the exact date, probably because it's irrelevant. The date is irrelevant, but the fact that he was born is the most relevant part. And so the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Turn to your neighbor, say, "Good news." That will cause great joy. Turn to your neighbor, say, "Great joy." For all the people. Turn to your neighbor, say, "All people." Now, if this was a sermon class, I'd say, hey, you could stop right there and you could do an entire message about the good news that brings great joy for all people. Now, this isn't a sermon class, but if you ever are in a pinch and your cousin is like, hey, man, aren't you a Christian? Why don't you give us a sermon this Christmas? And you'd be like, okay, Luke chapter 2, good news. Jesus came and he died and he's risen again. Great joy, the joy that lives inside of you. He is our strength and our hope. For all people, even you, Cousin Jerry. All people. That's why I love this church. People ask me all the time, what kind of church is it? It's a church for all people. Is it a black church? Yeah. White church? Yeah. Hispanic church? C. For all the people. For all the people. For all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This isn't just any other child. This wasn't just some special birth. He is the one we've been waiting for, our deliverer, the one that takes away the sins of the world. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly a great choir dressed in white and tan singing, "He's in the room." A heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's not just hear about it. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I pray that you would see everything that the Lord has told you about. In 2024, I prophetically decree over your life that if God said it, it will be so in Jesus' name. I love this. So they hurried off. There's a sense of urgency every time you hear the gospel message, every time you hear the good news. It's not something to hesitate on, but obedience is immediate and not delayed. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told. You can't help but tell people about Jesus. When you really meet Jesus, you never keep it to yourself. Some of you are saved, but you never told anybody. I don't know if you're really saved. Because when you encounter the presence of God, it changes everything about who you are. And you tell everybody about what you had seen. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, I love Mary, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's in the room, and he's in her heart." The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, today we make room for you. We make space in our busy calendars and we rearrange the shelves of our busy lives to increase our capacity to understand who you are and to hold on to the hope and the joy and the meaning of Christmas. We thank you for the story of Jesus. Lord, I know that at this time of the year, grief can sometimes surface. A loved one who has passed away, someone close to us who's serving abroad in our military, someone who's currently incarcerated. Maybe there's a reminder of things that used to be. I just pray, Lord, that your love would infiltrate our hearts as we make room, and that your arms would wrap around all of those who are brokenhearted. And we remember the reason for this season, which is your son, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being in the room. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I got invited to preach at the Outreach magazine, called it the fastest growing church in America, okay? Now, every church size doesn't really matter. I preach. But there is a little bit of nervousness going before 10 locations, you know, thousands of people. And so anytime I have a big speaking engagement, I try to bring my wife alongside with me because she'll make sure that I don't say something stupid. And if I say something stupid in the first service, she'll be like, "Don't say that for the second service." Happens every Sunday. And so because I got invited to this church and was nervous to preach, it was in the summertime, it was in Florida, we spent a couple days beforehand, and the church so graciously put us into a hotel that was pretty nice. I love staying at hotels. Anybody like hotels? Hotels are fun, as long as the rooms are on the inside and not on the outside. Rooms on the outside, I'm like, It's like one of the things that we ask the church whenever I go speak somewhere is like, "Are the rooms on the outside or are the rooms on the inside?" Or, "I'll book the hotel, you just reimburse me." That's another way. And they put us up in a nice hotel. I love staying in hotels. I love spending some time in a hotel. I love vacation. Don't you love vacation? I love spending time with my wife with no kids. Come on, somebody. You know what that means? Do I need to explain it to you, or are you okay? It's always so much more fun when there's no kids and when there's numbers on the door. You're like, "I live in an apartment, Pastor." I'm like, "Yeah." It's always better when there's numbers on the door. So our first house that we ever owned, I put numbers on the door of our master bedroom. I went to Lowe's Hardware, bought a couple numbers, like mailbox numbers. I put them over top of the door. True story. Because relations are always better when there's numbers on the door. Come on, somebody. I got some husbands in the room. They're going to be like, I got to swing by Home Depot on the way home. Amazon Prime now, next day shipping. 777, the number of God. Anyways, staying in a hotel, preaching at a big church, and in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, we hear the click of the key. While we're sleeping, we hear the click of the key into our hotel room, and the handle moves. 3:30 in the morning. You know, I'm asleep. We're all asleep. We're just disoriented. And I've never heard my wife scream so loud since. Get out! And this poor couple, they didn't even know that we were in the room. And they had had a good night, socially speaking. I don't know how else to explain that to you. Their reflexes were delayed. They had come in an Uber. Do you know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying? And so they're like, they're freaking out. Because to them, someone's in their room. But to us, someone's in our room. And so they quickly closed the door. I dialed 0 on that goes to the front desk. And I wasn't very pastoral. But I remembered that the hotel was in the church's name. So I got to be careful with what I say. I'm like, it's 3:30 in the morning. I have the opportunity of a lifetime tomorrow. I've got to preach 12 times to 10 locations. And people just came through our door. You know, it's never anyone's fault. It's the system. You ever blame the system? It's like, oh, system is broke. Hey, man, Cash App me. Oh, the system is down. You know, you just don't have any money in your Cash App. Somebody made that mistake. So I kept telling my status with Hilton. I'm like, I'm a double diamond platinum. You better fix this, you know? Come to find out, they had just assigned the wrong room to this couple. And, you know, it's hard to go back to sleep after that. It's really hard. It just kind of jars you a little bit. And I you know, put the little bar, you know, talking about the bar thing. I don't know why we didn't put that thing up there beforehand. But now every time we go to a hotel, we put the little bar thing up there because, man, it was, even then, though, it would have been scary just to hear it. And here's where I'm getting at. Some of you, you think you're here today at all of our locations and you're in the wrong room. You think, I'm just here because I saw a flyer. My cousin invited me. My wife said if we, you know, came to church today, we could go to Golden Corral afterwards. And I just want to reassure you that you, my friend, no matter how far away from God you are, you're not in the wrong room. You're in the right room this morning. You're in the right room today. And this is a place of grace. So no matter how far you are from God, no matter if you're deconstructing or wondering about matters of faith, or maybe confused about what you believe, I know this, you're not in the wrong room. It's not an accident. You weren't assigned the wrong room today. You are in the right room, and there's room for you in the room that you're in. There's a spot for you here. Not only that, there's room for you in the room that you're in, but my question is there room for him in the room that you're in? That's the real question we have to ask. Now that I know that I'm accepted and I have a spot here at this church for this time, that it's not an accident that you're here, it's not coincidence that you're here, my question to you, now that you're in the room, is there room for him? Because we found that Joseph and Mary didn't have any room. They had to have a makeshift stable delivery inside of a manger with straw and hay and animals probably alongside them. My question to you is, have you made room for God to move into your life today? Have you made room for him to do something in your heart? Or is your life too busy? Is your calendar too full? Have you made room? And if we're honest, you know, we're all in different types of rooms. I got four that I'd like to present to you today. And the first one is this, the waiting room. Anybody been to a waiting room? Whew, the worst. Anybody like going to a waiting room? Nobody talks to nobody at the waiting room anymore. They're staring at their phone. You know, if my appointment was at 8:30, why am I waiting any minute past 8:30? Some of you are like, well, if the service is at 10:30, why is the countdown starting at 10:40? It's, the weather's bad. You're fine. You're not going anywhere. Have you ever been in a waiting room before? It's the worst. You start to Google things about your sickness. WebMD shows you the worst possible scenario, you know? You broke your pinky, but now you think you have terminal illness. You know what I'm talking about? Waiting rooms are terrible because there's time spent in waiting rooms, and it feels like, it just feels awful to wait. I hate waiting. That's why I love my dentist. My dentist offers 7 a.m. appointments. I love my dentist. He must be a man of God. Because only men of God wake up before the sun rises. So I had a crown and a filling this week. And my appointment was at 7 a.m. Come on, somebody. Guess who wasn't in the waiting room? There's nobody in the waiting room. Like, just me. Just me in the waiting room. They're like, Mr. Santiago? I'm like, who else are you calling? There's no one else here. And I go in, you know, they numb, you know, the gums and everything like that. And my tongue gets puffy. It feels like, hey, yeah. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about? I haven't had a cavity in 36 years. It's my first time ever. First cavity filled, first fill and first crown I've ever had. And I go to pay. And, you know, I'm kind of a little out of it. It's like 7 a.m. My tongue is numb. And I see a Focus Church sticker on the lady's coffee mug at the receptionist desk. And so I'm like, huh? You go to Focus? She's like, I do. She did. So she said, I do. I said, which campus do you attend? She's like, I serve coffee at the East location. I was like, thank you for being on the vision team. It was like $2,300. I'm like, now take my money. Thanks for giving to Kingdom Builders. Waiting rooms are terrible. I hate waiting. Some of you are in a season of waiting, and you're wondering why God hasn't come through for you in the time that he said he was going to come through for you. You put a time stamp on a promise, and it hasn't come to pass. And some of you are in the waiting season, and I just came to remind someone that waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. Waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. It says in the book of Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with like wings with eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You, my friend, might be waiting, but waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. There is something that God is preventing in your life that is keeping you from accelerating something that if you got it too early, you would squander it. If it was given to you too soon, you wouldn't be able to manage it. That's why I'm glad this church is the size that it is now, and it wasn't this size 10 years ago, because your boy didn't know how to preach 10 years ago. Couldn't even grow a beard. And In a waiting season, some of you, you've been trying to start a family and the results just aren't favorable. Some of you, you've been trying to find a spouse and it's date after date and you just can't seem to get the traction. You've been invited to so many weddings, but none of them are yours. You're in a waiting season. And I want to let you know that waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. And while I'm waiting, God is always working. The latency is no match for his sovereignty. You know what latency is? It's a delay. If you have bad internet, you have latency, you have lag. My son always tells me, it's got lag, I can't play Fortnite. The internet's too slow. Some of you expect high speed results. We serve an on time God, and he is sovereign. your latency right now, the circle that you're in, the cycle that you're in that feels like a delay, it's his design. It's his design. What is his sovereignty? His sovereignty is his control, his authority, and his covenantal presence. Meaning he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in the waiting room. Maybe you're in this other room. You're in a situation room. Have you ever seen the situation room in the West Wing of the White House? There is a thing called the situation room. This is where conflict gets resolved, where important matters get decided. It's where people discuss, some of the most powerful people in the world discuss some of the things at hand in our nation and around the world in the situation room. And as I was doing research about the situation room, I found out that there are 155 full-time staff members in the situation room. That's our tax dollars at work right there. What's this guy do? Oh, I just hear. Straighten the papers on the table. I don't know. 155 people full time for the situation room. How many of you have been in a situation before? You've been in a situation? And I go, man, they only gave me one phone call. I'm in a situation. I like her and I like her. I'm in a situation. You ever been in a situation? You ever been in an impossible situation? Pastor Ed texted me last night. He were in a group chat called CP3, Campus Pastor 3. And he said, my battery just died on my car. My family is stranded in the middle of the highway 401 down there in Garner. Sad situation. He said, but I got an Uber. I said, praise God, because I'm already in bed. You ever been in a situation? What I've realized is that situations are complicated. Blended family situation, it's complicated. Going through separation or divorce, it's complicated. Having a child who left the faith, who is far from God, who hasn't returned to God, it's complicated. Having children who are exploring other ideas and other ways of life that aren't in alignment with how you raise them, it's complicated. The situation is complicated. It's hard to explain. It's hard to deal with it. Some of you came in here and it's such a complicated situation. And I'm reminded who you staff your situation room with is very important. It's very important. Who is around you in the season where you need wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment? If you have bad advice givers in the situation room of your life, then what will happen is you will remain in the same situation for a long time. I've seen people spend a lot longer in situations than they had to because the staff that they had in their situation room was the wrong people. They had the wrong people giving them bad advice in their situation. So, here's what I've also learned. For every situation, there's graduation. If you allow every situation to produce a graduation, then you'll never go through the same thing twice. God is using this situation in your life to elevate you to the next place. Have you ever been broke? You know how creative you get when you get broke? You open up that freezer and a taquito rolls out. That taquito has been in that freezer for 4 years. And you're like, kids, it's Taquito Tuesday. Put some peanut butter on it. We got peanut butter and we got taquitos. For every situation, there's a graduation. Next time you see taquitos, you'll be reminded of the faithfulness of God in that season. You'll say, remember when I opened up the freezer drawer and those taquitos rolled to the front? That's all we had. Every time I drive by a Panera Bread, I'm reminded, 11 years ago, I was making $7.25 an hour as a busboy at the Panera Bread at Beaver Creek Commons. There's nothing wrong with being a busboy at Panera Bread, but I am so grateful that for every situation, there's been a graduation. So every time I drive by Panera, I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And I know it's complicated. But the complexity is no match for his ability. He can redeem. He can restore. He can save. He can change. He can break chains of addiction. He can. He can and he will. He has the ability to do more than you could ever ask, seek, think, or imagine. He is capable. I know it's complicated, but his ability is greater than the complexity. Situation room. Next room is this, the dark room. Some of you are going through a season where you're like, don't even know what's next. It's dark. It's a dark room. I'm feeling my way through this season. I don't even know what's next in my life. I don't know what the purpose is of this dark season. And I want to remind you that just because it's dark right now doesn't mean God's done with you. In everyone's house here, everyone has a kitchen and they have a junk drawer. It's in the room. It's in the room. Batteries, light bulbs, lighters, candles, birthday candles. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? String, dental floss. I don't know. It's in the room. And back in the day, this is just for the kids here. There was this thing. Y'all remember film? You would open up your junk drawer and out would roll this film. A little black plastic container with brown rolled film in it. And you would look at your spouse and you'd say, what was this from? Do y'all remember this? There was a day and time, young children, where we couldn't take 1,000 photos. We could only take 24 or 36, depending on which camera we bought. Do y'all remember these days? And we prayed that Uncle Jerry didn't put his finger in front of the thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You get it back and you're like, it's my wedding. This is my wedding, Uncle Jerry. Remember the crank? Spinning it, holding it down, making the flash go. Y'all remember this or no? Some of y'all remember when there was just bulbs and it was like, he's in the room. Stomp on the glass, the flash, and one light bulb. Anyways, they would take the film, which was just a preview, to a room to be developed. You would go to CVS, Walmart, Walgreens for 1 hour photo. You had to wait an hour for a picture, an hour. Right now, in real time, this is being streamed across the internet to other places around the world. And we used to have to wait an hour for a picture. Some of you are in the waiting room, some of you are in the situation room, but some of you are in a dark room right now. But it's not a dark room because you're dying or done. It's a dark room because God is developing what was a prophetic picture in small form. He's extending it and showing you clarity. And he's bringing color to what you have not seen. He's bringing clarity to what was blurry. And you are in the dark room, but the dark room is a room of development. You will find a farmer putting seed into the ground and it's dark underground, but it doesn't stay underground. In season, there will come a time where you will reap a harvest that you've never seen before. What you won't see is an undertaker watering the bodies because they're dead. But your dream and your season and the thing that you are in right now, it might be dark, but God is not done. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm so glad that God's righteous right hand is what's holding my situation together, because it's dark right now. It's dim right now. There's not a lot of hope right now, but whose hand am I in? I'm not in my own strength. I'm in his righteous right hand, and I am preaching this morning. Can we give God some praise? It's in a dark season. This is what I wrote in my notes. The mystery is no match for his majesty. Some of you are in a mysterious season. You're like, I can't see what's in front of me. Just focus on Jesus. Put your eyes on his majesty. He's never left you nor forsaken you. He's never let me down. Lord, I praise you today. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's next in my life. I didn't expect this. This came out of nowhere. I'm in a dark room, but I want to let you know, your majesty, the Bible says that he was the light of the world, and he cast out the darkness. The book of John, chapter 1, he was the light of the world. Meaning if you're in a dark room, just look for the light of the world. If you're in a dark season today, just look for the light of the world. Look for the light of the world. Okay, the fourth room, the delivery room. The delivery room. Some of you, you know, in during COVID, you couldn't have anybody with you. People are having children and they couldn't even have their own parents there, their own spouses there. Y'all remember these? Yeah. God, never again. I'm so grateful that God does not have COVID restrictions on his presence wherever he goes. And there are some things in your life in 2024 that God wants to birth that have been laying dormant inside of you for so long. And I want to let you know he's in the room. And that every dream that you've dreamt that is of God, every plan that he has put inside of your heart, every potential that remains inside of you, I declare that that business will start. I declare that that family will be restored. Every dream and every promise shall be delivered in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Says in Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. And you surround me with what? Songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance. Lord, whatever it is that we need to be, that need to release from our hands, we give it to you. Which leads me to two ways to make room this Christmas. Number one, I'm almost done, is you have to make room in your hands. You have to say, God, my hands are not full. I need you. Have you ever had your hands full? There's some folks at this church that have too many kids. They knew who I'm talking about right now too. But they're only half listening because they have so many kids, they gotta pay attention. Their hands are full. Any guys in here, your wife sends you the text, hey, I'm coming back from the grocery store right now, be ready to help me? That is a challenge. You come back from Costco with 86 bags, and we look at that trunk when it's open, and we stare it down. Like we're at the schoolyard against these bags of groceries. Not a single bag left behind. We are taking one trip and one trip only. So we will calculate in our hand. Okay, the eggs are fragile. The bread is fragile. So we got to put that up on our shoulders. Okay, are you ready? And then you guys know what I'm talking about? Is it only me? And I just hope my neighbors are out so that they can see this feat of strength. And I just, one trip, baby. One trip, one time, one heart, one goal. My hands are full. My hands are full. Do y'all play this game or no? Any professional shoppers? I married one. 5 minutes at Crabtree Valley Mall, 5 minutes at Streets at South Point, boom, full hands. Sephora, H&M, Anthropology, Crate and Barrel, all of it, professional, hands full. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. So this week is actually the busiest retail week of the year, so if you haven't bought your Christmas gifts, just Amazon them because it's gonna be crazy out there. You have to bring anointing oil with you to Crabtree Valley Mall. This week and next week. Some of you, your hands are so full with the busyness of life, God can't pour out anything else. Because you've been playing this game with how much can I carry on my own, but he is our source of strength. He is the one who makes our burden light. He is the one who makes our yoke easy. Yet we are carrying so many things that are, you came here, you're already wondering what time the service is gonna get out because you gotta go to the next thing, or you gotta plan this party and you gotta do this thing, and you're frantic because you have a blended family, and which kid's gonna go to which parent, and which parent are we gonna go see, and on which day the turkey's gonna burn and the ham, and it's like, just, open up. Like when your hands are full, here's the deal. Listen, God's arms are open. The prodigal son had his hands full. He squandered everything his father had given him. He was living lavishly and in sin. And he's in the slums. He gets to the bottom of the barrel and he's eating from the pigs. And he says, at my father's house, even the servants. And he goes home and his father, open arms. Kill the fatted calf. Get this guy a robe. Get him a ring. Get him some sandals on his feet. Why? Because when your hands are full, God's arms are open. So if you're busy this season, just know we serve an open-handed God. Nothing you give to God will catch him by surprise. Nothing you give to God will test his strength. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. The second thing is you got to make room in your hearts. Mary made room in her heart. It says that in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You got to make room in your heart. Some of you, you came here, you got such a critical spirit towards the church, and some of it is justified and rightfully so. The last pastor or the last church or someone in a previous season really did some damage to your heart, and it's hardened. And so you come to things like this, and you're like, the music is good, but I'm going to be on my phone during the sermon, and I'm not really going to allow God to speak to my heart. And I just want you to be like Mary today. I want you to allow your heart to be open and softened because he's in the room. And when he's in the room, everything changes. I know that there's pain in your past. I'm not denying those things. But if you keep a closed heart, he cannot, you're not making room for him. And you need to make room for Jesus because it's his birthday. He's the Savior of the world, the Messiah. He has been born. I know that they hurt you. I know that they walked out on you. I know that your heart has been hardened towards the things of the Lord. But I'm on assignment today to let you know that he is in the room. And he was in the waiting room when you went through that season of waiting. He's in the situation room for those who are going through a situation. He's in the dark room for those who are going through obscurity and mystery right now. And he's in the delivery room for those who have dreams and hopes and desires they want to see fulfilled. He's in the room. Not only is he in the room, but Jesus says this. I love this so much. I love this. Jesus says this in John 14. He says, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, I love preaching so much. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Is there room for me in heaven? Absolutely. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. You're coming with me. Where I am, you may be also. Of course, there's room. There's always room. In the mansions of heaven, there's always room at the feet of the cross. There's always room with your dysfunction and our pain and our sorrow. He has made room. And when we make room for him, he made rooms for us. I was at another hotel one time. And all the preachers were at a conference. We were all staying at the same time, but the service started at the same time. So the elevator would go through some traffic. So everyone was leaving their room at the same time and everyone was going to the service. So the elevators were taking forever. And so I press a button, it'd take forever, you know. And the floor I'm on, the elevator room opens, elevator door opens, and it's like slammed, like right here. And this guy's like, if we all take one step back, we can make room for one more. I'll never forget it. He's like, there's always room for one more. And so they all collectively took one step back and I stepped in and they were closed. Next floor down, he's like, if we all step back, we can make room for one more. And I'm like looking for the Sherry Berry certificate, you know? What's the weight on this thing? He's like, if we all get together, we can make room for one more. And I want to let you know, in heaven, although it's populated, it's not crowded. There's always room for one more. With every head bowed and every eye closed at all of our locations, you're about to make a decision that's going to change your life forever. I would like for no one to leave, no one to move. For just 3 minutes, just remain in reverence to the things of the Lord for just a moment. You say, I needed there to be room for me. Thank you for making room for me. If that's you today, you say, I felt like there was not a place for me, but now I feel like there can be a place for me. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many rooms. And he's in this room right now, and he's prepared a room for you in the future. And if you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by acknowledging his lordship and surrendering your life to him and saying, I need my heart softened and I want to surrender my life to Jesus. You came in here today, you have a lot of questions, but Jesus is drawing you near. He's prepared a place for you today. And if you know that that's you, you felt it from the very beginning. You knew coming in here today that you were far from God, but you needed to be saved. He sent his son Jesus not only to be born, but to also die on a cross and then to be risen again after 3 days so that you and I could experience eternity in heaven. And if that's something that you want to experience, I'm gonna count to three and I'm just gonna ask you to shoot your hand up in the air when I say three. And the reason we ask you to shoot your hand up in the air is so that you can mark this moment as the time where you made room for God in your heart for the first time. If you've never made room for God and you're ready to make room for him, you're ready to be saved today. One, you say, Pastor Mike, that's me, that's my story. You ready to make room? You ready to make room for Jesus? Two, you say, that's me, I'm ready to make room for Jesus. That your heart is being stirred right now. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. I'm not gonna single you out or embarrass you at all, but at all of our locations, I want you to get ready to shoot your hand up in the air right now. One, two, three, I'm ready to make room for Jesus. Shoot it up high. Don't be embarrassed now, shoot it up high. Shoot it up high. Anybody else? Keep your hand up high until somebody brings you a card. Right here in the middle, right here in the middle. Anybody else? Shoot it up high. We're just gonna bring you a little card. If that's you, it's not too late right now. Heaven is being populated right now in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Shoot your hand up in the air. At all of our locations, shoot your hand up in the air. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a secure identity in who we are in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for new birth. Thank you, Lord, for a new understanding of who you are. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace. Anybody else, shoot your hand up. If you haven't received a card yet, shoot your hand up. I just feel like there might be one or two more. If that's you tonight, today, if that's you, praise God. For the sake of those who just raised their hand, we're gonna pray this prayer together, even those who are already believers and those who just became believers. We're gonna pray this prayer to commemorate this moment. It doesn't make you saved, but it is a good start for your heart to begin the transformation process of salvation. Repeat after me, say, Father God, I give my life to you. I make room for you and I repent and I confess my sins and I admit that you're Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before we clap our hands for just a moment, maybe you came in here today and you're in a waiting season. You're a believer. You're in a situation. You love God, you're a believer, but you're in a situation. Maybe you're in a dark season or a delivery room. I want you to know this church and this pastor, I'm praying for you. And allow me to reassure you that he is in the room. He was in the room when you were abused. He was in the room when they walked out on you. He was in the room when they fired you right before the holidays. He was in the room when you couldn't make that car payment. He was in the room when you were having to decide what you were going to eat for your last meal. He was in the room when you received that call that broke your heart. He is in the room when you received that. He is in the room. If you're in a waiting room, he's in the room. If you're in a situation, he's in the room. If you're in a delivery room and you got dreams and desires, he's in the room. If you're in a dark room of development, he is in the room. And this church loves you and I care for you and I greatly appreciate the commitment to come into a room where Jesus can change everything. I pray blessing and favor over this church family. I pray that their best days are not behind them, but in front of them. We declare and we decree that every room that we are in, that you would inhabit the praises of your people. Your word says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, meaning you tabernacle with us. You set up tent inside of our hearts. Thank you. And we ask you to be with us in whatever room we're in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God some praise today.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. This ministry is made possible because of the generosity of many people just like you. To partner with us, you can click the link in our description or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe now and share it with a friend. For more inspirational content, subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/focuschurch. Join us next week for another incredible message.